Hello, my name is Reverend Seth Nelson, and I am the pastor of Faith Lutheran Church in Ronan, Montana. Join in weekly to hear the good news of God's love proclaimed over your life. You can follow us on Podbean and iTunes. God bless you this day. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Who told you that you were naked? Such a simple yet powerful question. According to this second creation story in Genesis, Adam and Eve were created without any sense of modesty or shame and walked around the Garden of Eden without so much as a fig leaf to cover themselves. That was, at least, until the serpent tempted and tricked Eve into eating the forbidden fruit, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And she in turn led Adam to eat the fruit as well. Their eyes were opened, and without anyone telling them, they suddenly recognized that they were naked, and they were ashamed. Their disobedient act led them to see themselves differently, and be embarrassed by their bodies, shamed by their sin. Who told them that they were naked? They did. Their view of the world was altered by how they had disobeyed their Maker. And this new perspective and awareness told them that they were unworthy to be seen for their true selves. Perhaps their experience, though unique and extreme, is not so different than what many of us go through far too frequently. Moments when we feel exposed under the gaze of others and outed beneath the view of God. There are probably many moments in your life when you could just as easily imagine God asking you, "Who told you that you were naked?" Just like Adam and Eve, I am sure you had a story of how somebody else led you to feel exposed. For me, the most profound experience of this sort that I had was when I was in South Africa and Namibia for a semester in college. As you might imagine, most of the people in these two countries look very different than my neighbors did growing up in Iowa. I come from one of the whitest states in America, so I did not have much experience living and learning among people of different races and ethnicities before that semester abroad. When we landed in South Africa, though, things were different almost immediately. Suddenly, I became aware of my whiteness in a completely new way. Suddenly, as I became a minority for the first time in my life, I realized how white I really am. And honestly, I felt exposed and vulnerable. Whereas I feel free and safe in the United States to go about and do pretty much whatever I please, the whiteness of my skin made me feel like a marked man there on the other side of the world. Everywhere I went, people would stare at me in wonder and fascination, as if I were some sort of exotic specimen from another planet. And much of this was actually rather harmless. The two nations were under the thumb of the South African apartheid government for decades, which enacted extreme laws of segregation, or separateness, as apartheid literally translates to mean. As a result, many areas in their cities and towns are still segregated today, even though apartheid officially ended in the early 90s. Much of people's fascination with me is that I volunteered and stayed in areas where white people are usually not seen very often. So I believe that many of the people staring at me were simply curious about this crazy white guy. One of my favorite moments of this sort happened one day when I got out of the taxi that dropped me off in Katatura, a historically black township in the city of Windhoek. From where the taxi would drop me off to the house I was staying, I had to walk about 5 blocks in between. One day, as I was making this short trek, a little Namibian girl came up and walked alongside me for a stretch without saying anything. She looked at me with big eyes and seemed pretty harmless, but it still weirded me out to have her staring at me and not saying anything. Finally, she spoke up with a big smile and said, "You have beautiful hair." I think I'll always remember that one. Other occasions were less innocent, as people saw dollar signs attached to my white skin, and tried to pick my pockets or glean money out of me in some other ways. At that time, I feel like the Lord's question to Adam and Eve in the garden should have been rephrased to apply to my experience of joining the white minority in these African nations. The question should be rephrased: who told you that you were white? Though I had not eaten any forbidden fruit that I know of, my answer would have been somewhat similar. Nobody told me. The world just looked different to me all of a sudden. While Adam and Eve had taken their nakedness for granted until their eyes were opened and they saw themselves differently, I had taken my whiteness for granted until I was able to see things differently. I had always lived in a world where white skin was the norm amongst my neighbors, so we did not have to think about race unless we chose to. Being part of the white minority in predominantly black African countries made me see things differently for myself. When Adam and Eve were in the garden, they lived in a sort of righteous ignorance. They did not even know that they were naked, but were fine with that fact because they were none the wiser. Then, following the serpent's tempting encouragement, they stepped out on their own, sinned against God for the very first time, and committed the ultimate act of disobedience, which we believe still leads people into sin today. They had fallen from a relationship of perfect obedience and harmony with God. Along with their fall, they had lost their righteously ignorant view of the world, too. They now saw their vulnerabilities, which made them embarrassed and afraid. Now they could see their shortcomings in their fullness, and they began to operate out of fear because of this. I realized in South Africa that I too had grown up to try to see the world through the eyes of Adam and Eve. Without knowing it, I tried to view the world through eyes that were righteously ignorant, not seeing the world for what it really is, but only through the lens of people that looked, thought, and talked like me. I had grown up in one little corner of North America thinking that people everywhere in the world should think, pray, and act like we did. I realized that I had been pretending that we lived in the Garden of Eden, where we did not need to take our differences seriously, because everybody was really all alike anyway. Then, I found myself in a place where I could not pretend anymore. I had to open my eyes to see beyond myself and take the differences around me seriously. I had to listen honestly to the fact that different languages form entirely different ideas and ways of thinking about the world. I had to understand more fully that there is not just one shared human history, but that we all get to the present with different pasts behind us. I had to be honest that we do not live in the garden anymore, but in hundreds of countries with millions of cultural expressions and ways of living in the world, shared by billions of people across the world. Though God started with a man and a woman, the world is far bigger and more varied than they could ever imagine. The sin of Adam and Eve was that they walked away from paradise by disobeying the God who placed them there. Though Adam tried to say that it was Eve's fault for giving him the fruit, and Eve tried to blame the serpent for tempting her in the first place, their sin was all on them, and they suffered for it. But we sin in a different way if we try to pretend that the world is still a homogeneous paradise where everyone should just be like us. I am proud of who I am, not ashamed of what I look like, and confident that God has guided me to be who I am today. I am also proud of my Namibian friends who look very different than I do, think about the world in ways that are unique and different from me, and have invited me into their lives despite my differences from them. God has guided people from all different homelands to be just as unique and varied, and hopefully just as kind. Adam and Eve were kicked out of the garden, never permitted to return. They were forced to grow food on their own and learn to cover up their nakedness. Despite all this, though, God did not abandon them. They had disobeyed their Creator and hidden from Him because they felt ashamed. But God loved and cared for them anyway. As we continually struggle to understand our diverse and varied world, we can trust that we do not need to live in fear, because God has always been with those who must leave the garden behind. May the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. I hope that you have enjoyed this week's sermon podcast. If you would like to hear more, read my blog, or get a copy of my book called The Church Unknown, go to www.revsethnelson.com. If you feel called to support our ministry, I invite you to go to our church's website at flcronan.org and click on the Offerings tab. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with favor.